Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org and the studios of WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck, our series of live performances and interviews. I'm John Schaefer. The Japanese singer and composer known as Hattis Noit is based in London, but she uses vocal techniques from around the world. She can sing in a pure Renaissance vocal style, in the keening tradition of the Balkans, in the style of Japanese gagaku or court music, and in a classical operatic mode, sometimes all in the same song. And she creates these choirs of sound all by herself using a looping station. Hattis Noit's latest album is called Aura, and she's here to play some of it for us today. This first piece is the title track, Aura.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Believe it or not, all of that was done live here in our studio by one singer, that is Hattis Noit, and the title track of her latest album called Aura. And it brings Hattis Noit back to our New Sound studio. It's great to see you again.
Great to see you too. Thanks very much.
You're not as out of breath as I expected.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah, I had an exercise.
Watching you actually perform this has already answered a couple of questions I was going to ask you, because there are a couple of parts on the record where I thought, oh, maybe she has a drum or something. Do you ever use actual percussion, or is it always the voice hitting the microphone like
that?
Yeah,
it's always voice with me.
Yeah. And you've got two microphones, one to set up the loops and then the other to sing over them, right?
Yes.
So how did you get started on this this way of making music all by yourself?
Actually, I started my career as a vocalist in a band, and I really wanted to continue the band, but sadly, like, they decided not to. And then at the time, I really needed to find another band member, but it was very hard. And I ended up starting doing that by myself.
What kind of band was it?
It was actually a black metal band.
A black metal band? Can you do the growly, you know, the Cookie Monster?
No, actually, I didn't shout, but I was doing the operatic mode of voice.
Right. Yep. Now that piece, Aura,
there
were moments there that to me almost sounded like Persian classical music. You know, they had that kind of yodeling sound. Is that something that you've studied?
Yeah, not very. I can't call it studied, but I am very much inspired by those. Yeah, technique as well.
Yeah. So whether you're singing opera or black metal or, you know, drawing on these other traditions around the world, people who sing in those traditions have to be very careful about how they treat their voice.
For sure.
You're treating your voice in all these different ways. How do you take care of your instrument?
It's all done by my own way, so I'm not very sure if I am doing correctly, but it's like using or choosing those different personalities for the song it needs, so that when I improvise or when I compose them, like, I feel like, oh, this personality is needed for this moment, so that I will do it by myself and stuff.
So each sound has a personality associated.
To me, sort of, I would call it personality, or just simply energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, of human or animal, I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Since we are shooting video and people can see your performance, I'll ask you about the kind of the unicorn setup that you have.
Yes. Yeah, it's cute, isn't it? Yeah. I like it.
Is that a feather?
Yes, it's
two
feather.
Feathers.
Yeah. It's by a designer based in Berlin and Indonesia. I feel kind of like I'm empowered by this, you know, because I am also very much inspired by nature or wild animals. So, having this like element just naturally, feels empowered.
Well, speaking of nature, I know we've talked about this before, but the name Hattis Noit, it doesn't sound Japanese, but it's old Japanese, is that right?
Yes, it is. It's from old Japanese folk story related to Buddhism. Hattis means lotus flower, and no, ito means stem of. So stem of lotus flower it means. And in the folk story, it means, people believe a stem of lotus flower connects this world and the spirit's world.
Ah.
So, to me, music is that.
Right.
Right.
I mean, I think most of us who are deeply inspired by music feel that it gets to something beyond.
Yeah.
Having said that, singing is a very physical thing.
Yes.
And you're a very physical performer. You have the looping station, and when you're setting up the loops, you have to be in front of it.
Yes.
Other than that, you're moving around, and You know, is it a whole body experience for you?
I think so. I'm not a trained Tai Chi practitioner, but I imagine it's like that, you know. Yeah. Like I have an energy within my body, and singing is done by instrument called body, right?
Right.
So I feel my body and I feel the energy like flowing inside of myself, and sometimes like more externally, the energy flowing in this room, like I try to connect with all of them, and yeah, for that just naturally makes my body move.
Well, another connection to nature, mm-hmm. Is the song you're going to do next, mm-hmm. Himbrimi, mm-hmm. which is, that's the name of, we call it a common loon in this country.
Okay.
So it's a bird, it has a very distinctive
kind of.
So do you title the piece after you've finished it and then you hear what's there, or did you have that in mind when you set out on this?
No, actually after, mostly I put the title for the last. I'm not very good at using words or like, you know, putting title and stuff. But yeah, for this song, I felt like the playfulness of the bird. So yeah, I thought it's a good name for this song.
All right, let's hear another live performance. Hattis Noit is my guest. The album's called Aura. You'll find a version of Himbrimi on it. But here is Hattis Noit's live performance.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, that is Hattis Noit, live in the studio, and a performance of her song Himbrimi from the album called Aura, but once again, live performance here in the studio. And Hattis, I want to come back to something that you said just before you sang that song, when I asked you about whether the title came first or last, and you said, I'm not so good with words and titles, but that song and Aura both had sounds that resembled words.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's good to hear.
Except they didn't mean anything.
Lovely. Good to hear.
So what is, have you ever used actual words in your compositions?
Not for this project, Hattis Noit, not. Yeah, when I make music, memory is very much a key. Memory of, sometimes it's a personal thing, or sometimes it can be more collective things. For instance, the feeling when I was a newly born baby and hold it in my mom's arm, and that sensation, like temperature or humidity or the love from her or energy or that sensation of that, it's very, very hard to verbalize or like translate into word, but I think music can do that very, very well. So I, at some point, I gave up using word to to focus on more, I don't know, some richer information to spread.
Well, you know, once you put a word on something, that's it. You've named it and that's all it is.
Yeah.
When there were no words, it could it could be anything.
I know. It's such a inspirational thing and creative thing for all of us.
Speaking of inspiration, how much inspiration, if any, have you drawn from people like Meredith Monk, who has been doing this since the 60s?
Yes. You pointed out earlier my movement of my body when I sing.
Right.
It's actually the reason why I become to be able to do my body, you know, using my body, is actually thanks to her. A couple of years ago, I went to her workshop in New York. And that was just amazing. At first, I was kind of expecting that she is teaching us how to, you know, compose or how to sing, but it was more than before that, you know, how we can relate to our body, or how we can use this instrument, body. So she was super encouraging to all of us. And before that, I thought, I'm not a professional dancer. Like, it's kind of silly that I move or like sort of dancing on the stage. But like, once she let us do it, I just found like, wow, this is such a joy as well. Because it's not just simply dancing for me, but it's a part of singing for myself.
Right. What about court traditions in Japan? Mm-hmm. Or do you draw any inspiration from those sorts of things?
I have to be honest here. When I had a like practice of like gagaku music, for instance, it's a very traditional like ancient court music of Japan. It is very, very strict, as you can imagine.
Yes.
And I was such a bad student there. And actually, my guru hated me because I do it to myself, you know. I cannot really hide like how I am.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's the biggest reason why I left there. I was too free.
You have done, back in 2018, you did some work with a 10-voice female choir called Nyx.
Oh, yeah.
Hearing you, not with lots of layers of loops, but as actual other singers, that must have been a different feeling, both physically and musically, for you.
Very much. That's what I actually also learned at Meredith Monk's workshop. she also taught us how to work with other people, how we can trust each other. It's not just musical thing, but also more like existence, being, how we can be, I don't know, like open or surrender to others. That was such a beautiful work. And working with Nyx or other musicians, especially voice. Voice is such a raw instrument. Yeah. So we are almost like naked each other on the stage, right? Mm-hmm. So it was such a beautiful practice as well, working with those people.
Have you had many opportunities to do that kind of, you know, group singing?
Oh, actually, I haven't yet. And that will be a big challenge to me. But yeah, in the future, at some point, I would love to do so.
And now, your own compositions, do they begin as improvisations?
Yes, very much improvisation. I just start improvising in the studio at home, very cozy one. And I just try to find where it goes, very free. And sometimes just the practice of singing evokes some very, sometimes very intense emotional sensation, which I cannot even find where is it from, but I love the moment.
Well, you know, Meredith Monk, many, many years ago in one of our first interviews together, she said, you know, the voice can get at emotions that we don't have names for. You know, there's a whole spectrum of emotions. We say, this one is fear, that one is anger, this one is joy, but there's lots of stuff in between.
So complex and rich. Yeah. And that's, I think that's the beauty of voice as well. Like we can draw all the complex emotion at once, you know.
So getting back to your own music, so with a piece like Inori, which you're going to do next, how fixed is it? It began as an improvisation, but once you're working with loops, it seems like you would have to have some kind of fixed structure.
In terms of how fixed that is with the loop, actually, this song, Inori, is the most free one because I don't have any rhythm on this piece. It's more like very much drawny. It's all with the sound of ocean, which I recorded in Fukushima in Japan. It was after the tsunami and nuclear power plant disaster. I recorded this sound just away from a nuclear power plant, just 1 kilometer away.
Wow.
It was...
You were allowed to get that close?
Yeah. The reason why I went there was I was invited to the ceremony. It was to reopen the area for the local people for the first time since the disaster happened. Actually, I was planning to make this song even before I went there, but the original concept was to point out how dangerous the nuclear power plant or technology of that for human. But after seeing them, bit by bit, I realized what this song want me to do. It's not just pointing a political point, but I was more and more able to connect to their memory and the people who wants to go back there or people who used to be there and people who loved Fukushima so much. Yeah, the song has changed so much by that, by improvisation coming to dedicate to their memory, personal memories or feelings or emotions.
And the title, Inori, means?
Means prayer.
Prayer. All right, Hatice Noit is my guest here in the studio. Let's hear this live performance of this piece called Inori, which appears on her record called Aura, but not in the form that you're about to hear. Wow, that is a live performance of Inori, which means prayer, by Hattis Noit, the Japanese-born London-based singer and composer. You'll find a version of that on her album called Aura. I have to say, Hattis, I know it's a piece of music, but it was almost like watching a magic ritual. Just the waves and the wind and the birds, and then you walking very slowly around the studio. In live performance, do you do that as well?
Yeah, every time I perform this song, I feel like I'm bringing them or their memory into the space wherever I go. So
the memory of those who died in the Fukushima and the tsunami.
I feel like taking them to the places where I visit.
Well, you are Hattis Noit, after all. The connection between the physical and the spiritual world, as you said before. Have you ever sung actual opera? Because you have a very convincing operatic voice.
How good to hear. No. Yeah.
Okay. There is a reworked version of Inori by William Basinski.
Oh, yes.
The American composer best known for the disintegration loops, you know, where he has tape loops actually disintegrate as you listen to them. And, you know, Matmos did a rework of one of your earlier pieces. You've actually done two different versions of Angelus Novus. So that idea of coming back to things and revisiting them, that seems to be kind of an important part.
I think so. It naturally happened so far, but to me, like, rather than making new songs so like frequently or like quickly, me personally, I really like visit to the same song again, 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 and as you said, it grows and it develops like each time I perform that. So I really love coming back to the same song again and working with other people for the same song, you know. It's such a beautiful
thing. So later this year, there will be a rework album, a rework version of the songs from Aura.
Yes, project is ongoing, so yeah, I'm very excited about it.
All right. Hattis, great to see you again. Thank you so much for a really memorable performance here in the studio.
Oh, it's nice. Thank you.
The album is called Aura from Hattis Noit. And my thanks as well to our technical director, Irene Trudell. Down the hall in the video control room is our producer, Karen Havlick. I'm John Schaefer. You can keep up with everything that we're doing on New Sounds by subscribing to our free weekly newsletter. Text New Sounds to 70101 or sign up on the website at newsounds.org.